Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, golden voice, Ted Williams. It is a Tuesday, January the 12th. 2021, 1-12-21, 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio, and we have got a great two-hour program for you this morning. Now, a little bit of housekeeping here. Coming up tomorrow on this program, because we have been inundated with questions about this, the COVID-19 vaccine, the new strain of COVID that is here in the United States from the United Kingdom, and just the sheer numbers of deaths from the COVID-19 pandemic has been on the tongues of everybody for quite some time now. So to settle this all out, tomorrow morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m., we will be joined by legendary author, doctor, former medical correspondent on the Today Show for so many years, Dr. Art Uhlein, tomorrow morning to talk about the vaccine, the virus, and everything that is going on with COVID-19, 9:10 to 10 a.m. live tomorrow morning. And we also have a special guest tomorrow morning from 8:10 until 9 a.m. that you're not going to want to miss, that in a roundabout way has a tie to Marion. Now, you're not going to want to miss this interview. I can't tell you who it is yet because we need to 100% confirm it, but it looks about 90% there. So that'll be tomorrow morning, 8:10 to 9 a.m. when the show kicks off. Here today on WWGH Radio, you have the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:10 to 3 p.m. and Voice of a People with Linda Sims today from 4:10 until 5 p.m. And Linda had a great show yesterday with one of the new reporters from the Marion Star. So, Linda, you did a great job yesterday, and I'm sure we'll do a great job today. Now, in studio today, we're so glad to be joined by our guest because the last week in Washington, D.C., and politics in general has certainly been one we will never forget, from the breach at the Capitol to the demands being made on President Trump at this point to our Vice President Mike Pence. What is he going to do? What's going to happen at the inauguration? Where are we headed in the next, well, 8 days now, I guess, no longer nine? We are so glad to be joined in studio by, I don't think she's been here since election night, so we'll talk also about the new, COVID-19 will do that. A little time passes in between, but we're always glad to have her in the studio, and she will be here for the two-hour duration this morning. 40th Treasurer of the United States, two schools named after her in the city of Marion, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, so good to see you. I think it's been election night.
You know, I think you're right. I haven't been out much.
You know, when you get to be a certain age, how cognizant did COVID become to you during the holidays when the numbers went way up?
I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my vaccine the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes. Last Friday, I got my first shot.
Now, how did you react to it?
Just a sore arm for a little bit.
Good.
It was nothing. Yeah.
Good. You know, have you been surprised by the number of people who say they're not going to get it?
Well, I'm not surprised because people are afraid, but I think everybody should get it. I sure don't want the disease, and why not get it, you know?
You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation last week with somebody who's in their early 40s and deals with kids, works in the school districts. And they said they probably will not get it because the FDA has not approved the vaccine. And people are doing research on this. I think they're honest in why they're not getting it. But there's a lot of that. I know healthcare workers are doing this. People who work in nursing homes have declined it at some points. I don't know. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I don't agree with it. I think everybody should get it.
So we can say, though, at this point, that you took it and the only thing there was a sore arm.
That's right, and not very long either, not even a whole day.
Now, when you, do you have to go back and get the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did the doctors or whoever administered tell you anything about the vaccine that we all should know?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Was there ever any doubt in your mind that you were going to get it?
No, never.
What did it come down to for you to get the vaccine?
I was tickled to death to get it. I mean, I wanted it. We were supposed to get it about 10 days earlier, and it got canceled. And so then I was the first one at Primrose to go in to get it.
Have you heard anything at Primrose about people not wanting to get it?
Just a couple of people said they were kind of worried about it. I said, when she was sitting there waiting to get her shot, she said, I don't know, she said, about this. I said, well, I think it's going to be all right. I said, I've watched everybody get it on television, and they seem to be all right.
Yeah. Well, and I... There are reports that people have died from it, but I'm not sure that these reports are real.
Well, I don't know.
It's strange. Well, mm-hmm. When the polio vaccine came out, do you remember this kind of...
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were people scared to get it?
Yeah, my brother had polio, and I sure didn't want to get that.
No, and hopefully this is one of the things that will finally calm this illness down.
Mm-hmm.
What has this, it's almost been a year now, how would you qualify this year in your life?
That's kind of a nothing year, yeah. It's a nothing.
It really has strained people.
Yeah, it's been very hard on people. I think especially older people, because they can't see their loved ones, and I think it's very hard for everybody.
How were you able to celebrate the holidays with this going on?
All by myself.
And how was that for you after all these years of...
Yeah, I talked to them on the phone, they're concerned. My daughters are concerned about it, too. They don't want me to get it. And, we had a very quiet holiday season. Nothing like we usually do.
Now that you have the vaccine, do you feel any more confident in going out in public or being around people?
Well, I'm still cautious because I haven't gotten the second shot, so I feel after I get the second shot, I'll be a little bit freer with going around.
Did you ever think you would live to see a time like this?
No. You know, remember when you used to get shots when you were a kid? And then that was, well, then the only shot you would get later on was the flu shot every year, which I never was sure whether it did any good or not, because I'd always get the flu, maybe a different brand, but I'd get it something. And I don't know, it's... It was just such a surprise, I think, to everybody to be in this situation and to have to try to adjust to it.
What did you make, and we're still kind of there to some degree, of right around Thanksgiving, the hospital, the local hospital here, getting to 90% capacity. I believe it was 20% of the people in the emergency room were testing positive, one in every five. Did you ever dream, even in the beginning, that it would get that bad?
No, I sure didn't. No.
People still to this day do not want to wear the masks.
I know, yeah. Well, they're inconvenient, but, you know, you get used to it.
Do you think there's any psychological component to that, that it... They see it as control?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's probably different reasons for different people, but yeah, I was watching them on television refusing the masks when the Congress people were in lockdown there, and refusing to put on the masks. Now some of them are positive, and so, you know, you just don't want to take that chance.
Well, it's good to hear, though, that you've got the vaccine and the only side effect was a sore arm.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's good to hear. As we go along, well, let's just start back from the beginning, because the last time you were here was election night, and when we left that night, it wasn't looking good for Joe Biden as we left that night. And then the next day, the write-in votes were being counted heavily. They came in. He ends up winning a lot of the states that Hillary Clinton lost back in 2016, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Let's just start with that bunch, because that was always thought to be the blue wall. That was supposed to be, those were supposed to be states Hillary Clinton for sure was going to win.
Yeah.
What allowed Joe Biden to win those back?
Well, you know, Joe Biden was really from Pennsylvania. I thought he never would have a problem with Pennsylvania, and he didn't. But, you know, they were all the mail-in votes, I guess, were pretty much Democratic, and they were counted last. And so it was quite a tense situation when all of those were being counted, and you watched it. I mean, he was behind, and then he was gaining, and then he was gaining, and it was such a slow process.
Do you think, what group was he able to appeal to in those states, that a lot of those states are considered Midwest, that Hillary Clinton was not able to appeal to?
Well, she had a lot of negatives with people. I never understood why, but of course the email situation probably caused a lot of it. And Joe Biden is a man, and I think that made a big difference. He's well liked. I don't think he has very many enemies. He's such a well liked person. He's been his whole life. He's been in politics, and everybody knows him, and he knows everybody. That's what makes it so good, that he understands government from the top down and the bottom up. I mean, he knows it.
Before we get to the two states that ended up being kind of a surprise to a lot of people, we got a social media question here about the vaccine. They just tuned in and they wanted to know, this is Michelle here in Marion, wanted to know if you did get both shots, and you haven't, because you just got the first one,
yeah.
But you will get the second one.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think people really are nervous about that. Yeah, it seems it.
I don't know why.
But again, you have no side effects, just the sore arm that we all get.
I'm just fine.
Just fine.
Yeah.
And you plan to get the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the two states that were very strange on election night, let's go to the one that was not as strange as the other one, but Arizona. Arizona had been Republican for a long, long time.
Yes, yeah.
What's going on in Arizona, in your opinion?
Well, I think the biggest thing was McCain. I think that had a big effect on everybody. He was their guy, and Trump was saying some terrible things about him. And his wife came out for Joe Biden. And, I mean, what are you know, that had a big effect.
You know, and I believe now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but both senators from Arizona are Democrats.
Yes,
now.
Yes. Well, the one is Kelly, and let's see, who's the other one?
I know.
Oh, well, it's oh, wait a minute. Let me think. I can't think. Yeah, I don't know.
But two Democratic senators, which is, and the state voted Democrat. Now, as the years go on, do you see that likely to be the trend because of the changing population in Arizona?
Well, they are gaining people right and left out there. My granddaughter lives out there in Scottsdale, and it's huge. And that's where all the votes were coming from when they were counting. Yeah.
You know, this is interesting. You look at the votes here in Ohio, and you look at the votes in a lot of other states, unless it's a state like California or you know, Alabama, where it's clearly either Republican or Democrat. Why is it that Democratic votes come from the big cities and Republican votes come from less populated areas.
That's the way it's been for as long as I can remember.
I can't figure out the correlation between population of your city and the way you vote. But it's there when you look at the maps.
Well, people in the cities are more liberal. That's the only thing I can say. I mean,
would you have any reasoning as to, I cannot figure out the reasoning as to what, living in a big city or a bigger city, why would that make you liberal?
Well, I think it, take it the other way, the people that are out there all by themselves are conservative, and I think it makes them that way by being all by themselves out in the boondocks, you know. But I can sure tell you where everything is in Ohio, you know, after all the times I've run, it's, but things have changed a little bit in Ohio too. I think that when there's scandals in government, it has a big effect on changing how people are going to vote, of course, and that hangs there for quite a while.
When you were running for a statewide treasurer, did you spend a lot more time in Columbus and Cleveland and Cincinnati because you knew that's where the Democratic votes would come from?
I spent the last 3 weeks of the campaign in Cleveland. I lived there in a hotel. Cincinnati had a high school, Withrow High School, which made a difference for me. And Columbus, I think, was just bordering on being Democratic at that time. It was more Republican, I think, than it was Democrat. And then you had the rural areas that were heavy conservative.
When I look at the state of Ohio, there are a couple anomalies, but one of them is Toledo. Toledo is very Democratic.
Yes.
And it's surrounded by all Republican.
Yeah.
Why is Toledo Democratic?
I can't answer that, but they are.
They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have a very, and their local government is very Democratic. I believe their mayor is a Democrat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to think of the surrounding areas, and I can't really remember them. You know, it's hard to remember all that, but you're right. It was Toledo, and then across the top, the northern part of Ohio to Cleveland, and then down to Steubenville, and it kind of stopped at Steubenville. Mm-hmm. And of course, Cincinnati really wasn't considered Democratic. And you had Dayton that was very Democratic, and that was about it, yeah.
I don't think I've ever asked you this. It's an interesting question because clearly Marion, when it comes to statewide office and national office, we tend to vote for the Republican. Now, locally, we have some Democrats and always have, but national elections, not all the time, but a lot, we vote for the Republican. When you were running for statewide treasurer, did you always carry Marion County?
Oh, yeah.
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 So it did matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you would have if you had not been from here?
No.
Yeah. It does matter.
It does matter.
It does
matter.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you come here to campaign? Did you have to do that when you
were? Oh, yeah. I had campaigned here, you know, for everything that I had been before. So, I had a really good record, and that is very important. And I campaigned hard. I just about killed myself running for office every time because it was necessary to win. I didn't want another loss because it's so painful.
you know, I think in the information age, this has been lost, and you can tell us this because you have run for statewide office. How many days, how many hours in that last month are you campaigning?
Oh, you're numb. You don't have any spare time. And you're getting home at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you got to travel so much to so many different points. Some of the Williams County, and I remember going, you know, the speaker, what was his name? It was from clear down on the Ohio River. It took forever to get down there. I was supposed to go down there one time and meet with the county chairman, and I got a speeding ticket on the way down. And then I got down there, and he wasn't there. And I was so disgusted.
That would do it.
Yeah.
That would do it. Now, in those days, we had some strong Democratic politicians, though, statewide. We had John Glenn.
Yes.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Was a big name in Ohio at that point.
But he couldn't beat Howard Metzenbaum at first.
No, why do you think, here it is, this American hero who everybody knew nationally, and also he could never really get off the ground in a presidential campaign. Why was that?
I don't know. When he ran against Howard Metzenbaum campaigned really hard. I remember him coming to the Marion Democratic meeting and sitting on a table there. It was out at the Fish and Game, and talking about how we should vote for him. And I always voted for John Glenn because I really wanted John Glenn in there. And it was a couple of races, if I remember correctly, before John Glenn won. Yeah, am I right on that?
I think that's right. At least one. I know there was at least one.
Yeah.
And you became fairly good friends with John Glenn
over
the years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of a guy was he?
Oh, he was the nicest person in the world. He was like Joe Biden. They're the same type of a person. They're just nice, you know?
He seemed very plain-spoken all of his life.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the anomalies of the last election, and probably the biggest anomaly and continuing up until last week, is the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. What happened in the state of Georgia that allowed it to be Democratic in the presidential race?
Stacey Abrams.
What is she doing in that state that nobody else can do?
She's got organizational powers that I have never seen before. I think she did a tremendous job, and such a change, and to think that happened. You know, we just kind of held our breath.
Well, Joe Biden, of course, did win the state of Georgia, and then we had a Senate race.
Yeah,
two runoffs.
That's where you held your breath. It was on that one.
Both Democrats were elected in the state of Georgia. Now, not by huge margins, but they did win.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of that?
Well, when you looked at the information about the people that were in office, I thought, well, they just got there by being Republicans. They didn't do much, and I think that was probably it.
A lot of people have had theories on this, that President Trump sabotaged that race, or those two races for the Republicans.
I don't think he did them any good.
Well, he for people who don't know what we're talking about, what happened was the Democrats in the House had wanted a $2,000 stimulus package, direct payments for Americans. The Senate said, no, we're not going to do that. We'll do $600. And they were just on the verge of passing that. And then President Trump said, no, I think $2,000 is right.
Yeah.
And the Senate turned him down and said, no, we're not going to do that, $600. Well, then Joe Biden went right down to Georgia and said, you vote these two in and we'll get you your $2,000.
Uh-huh.
How much did that hinge on that? That's a big deal. money's important to people.
Well, if I lived there, I could answer that question. I can't answer it from here in Ohio. I don't know. It would make sense that had a lot to do with it. I think the fact that Trump betrayed the Republicans, and that was a big factor.
I want to get to that in just a second, but I want your answer on this. If they do not pass, the Senate and Biden will be in on January 20th. If they do not pass that $2,000 stimulus before the month of January is over, how ticked off are people going to be at the Democrats?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have to do this.
I would think so, yeah.
So back to Trump here, because that was interesting. Why did he do that? He would have to know that that wasn't going to play well for them in Georgia.
Who knows why he does what he does? I don't. You know, I couldn't figure that one out at all.
Well, this comes back, and you were on the show back in 2015 when he first announced he was running for president. And there was a lot of question, and people forget this now, that, you know, he did give money to Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. He had been a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He had been pro-choice at points in his life. Do you think, even as we look back now, that Donald Trump really is a Republican and that he really has a political philosophy? Or is he just playing to the crowd?
He's playing to himself. Whatever does good for him is what he does.
Do you think, though, in his heart, he thinks the way most Republicans think?
No, he doesn't. He's got his own party now. And it isn't the original Republican Party at all.
What has he done to the Republican Party? Now, we do have to say he did things that Republicans, other Republicans, couldn't do. They couldn't win presidential elections for a while. They couldn't win in Michigan. They couldn't win in Wisconsin. They had trouble winning in Pennsylvania. So he did that and certainly changed the makeup of the Supreme Court. So what did he do to the Republican Party?
Well, he tore it apart. It's torn apart now.
If you had to say today, if somebody said, what is a Republican in the United States, what would you say?
You don't know, because it's all split. I wondered how, you know, if they could find out how many people are the old style Republicans, the kind that believed in the things that the Republican Party believed in. That's gone by the wayside. They're all split up.
Let's go to last week. This is a city, Washington, D.C., that you worked in every day for 6 years.
Yeah.
What did you make of that?
7 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of that?
Oh, I thought it was horrible. I couldn't believe what was happening. The destruction and the hurting the people the way they did, and the, it was just terrible. I started watching it. I was had the TV on, and I couldn't stop. I watched it then till about 10:30, all the speeches for the validating the vote, which was so interesting. I heard some good speeches. I thought some of them gave excellent speeches after all of that. But there was people not doing their job somewhere. It was we're finding out every day that there was even police organizations that were supporting Trump. They had that on the news this morning. I heard it. Did you hear that?
I had heard that. The mayor of D.C. had asked for the National Guard to be called in several times.
And they didn't do it.
And they didn't do it.
Yeah, because the president has to do that. So then the vice president did it. And I found out something the other day. The vice president does not get the protection after he's out of office at all. And I didn't know that until the other day.
Really? So yeah. Al Gore so, never yeah, had?
No. So what they're asking is for Trump to resign so that Pence will be president for a little bit so he'll get protection, because I think he needs it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think even as a, you're probably not the biggest fan of Mike Pence, but with what's going on.
Yeah, right. I don't want to see him killed.
No.
No.
No. And there could be a chance of that.
Yeah, absolutely. After what I saw the other day, they cared nothing about anybody.
Here was the situation Wednesday, as everybody saw it. And it was strange in a lot of ways, because we knew what was going on at the Capitol. The Senate and the Congress were trying to certify this election. Pence that morning had said, I'm going to do what the Constitution says, which didn't make the president very happy. And we knew that this rally was going to happen. All the news stations knew it. The D.C. knew it. So at what point between those two events going on at the same time did everything go nuts? What happened? What made that happen? We knew all that was going to happen that day, but we didn't know it was going to result in the Capitol being breached. Where was the miscommunication?
Well, I think they didn't think it was going to be that severe. I think that the people that were involved are severe people. They're in these organizations that are very radical, and they keep naming all these organizations I've never heard of. And, you know, some of these people train all the time, and they're such difficult people. And I think that's who was involved in that crowd, and it got the whole crowd going. And when they were, beaten up on everybody, and it was just a horrible sight. And then I thought, you know, what's it going to cost to fix up the Capitol when they get done? The ruining everything. When I was in Treasury, we had so many valuable things hanging on the walls and antiques and that were very, very valuable. And I thought, what if they had done that to Treasury? It's such a beautiful building, and I didn't go to the Capitol that much. The only time I went was when I had to testify. And so I'm not that familiar with the Capitol. But to see that happening to a building that is, you know, really the spirit of the country, and here we are, have to fix it up now and try to get it back to where it looks good again.
The big wigs in security at the Capitol, the sergeant-at-arms, I believe they've resigned or either quit.
Yeah.
What we just spoke to what the mayor of D.C. had said about trying to call in the National Guard, but why weren't those people prepared?
I couldn't understand it. I think there was some inside agreements not to help. I really think that's what went on.
When we look at this, because if everything happens the way it's looking like it's going to happen with impeachment, a lot's going to be paid attention to the speech that President Trump gave at the rally. Because did he incite what happened?
Yeah.
Do you think he did?
Yeah, I think he did. But I think his son and Giuliani were just as bad or even worse. His son was, he was all fired up. And President was too, but he wasn't as radical as his son was. I talked to two of the women that were in the building when it happened the other day, Sunday. Marcy Kaptur, who's from Toledo, and she got started in politics about the same time I did, although she was a lot younger than me, and of course she's still there, but she said she'd never been so scared in her life. And then I talked to Joyce Beatty, who is from Columbus. She's head of the Black Caucus now, and she said it was so terrible. She said, I just was so scared. And they were telling me how, where they were and everything, but I'm not that familiar with the Capitol to really know exactly where they were when it happened. But you know, I could tell that they're never going to get over this. It'll be something they'll never forget.
It's interesting because we watch it on television, but to hear from Joyce Beatty and Marcy Kaptur, obviously it was a scary day, but what did they say what they were fearful of? What was the...
Well, they were afraid they were going to get to them and what that would happen to them. You know, that's what was so awful was I don't think anybody thought that they were going to hang Pence or what they would do to Nancy Pelosi when they started walking to the Capitol. But some of the people must have and got it all fired up on the way, you know.
So they say it'll be something that they have a hard time getting over.
Oh, they'll never get over it. Yeah, they'll never forget that. Yeah.
Do you think television did that moment justice? I mean, we saw the pictures of the windows being broken, and we saw the arms being pulled to block the doors. But do you think for the people who were in there, we can really understand what that was like?
No, but I tell you, when I went to Carter's inauguration, I was in a crowd where I couldn't move. And being in a crowd, like that's what they were. They were in a crowd where they couldn't move, I think. And at least it was so violent, everything that was going on, that it just was such a horrible sight.
I've asked this question to a few people. What do you think they were trying to accomplish? I don't think we know that yet. What would breaking into the Capitol accomplish for that group? Because clearly the rally was about keeping President Trump president.
Yeah.
That the election was fixed.
It wanted to change the vote.
Right. So what would breaking into the Capitol, how would that change the vote?
Well, they were voting on it at the time they broke in. That's how they were going to get to him. They were trying to get to the people voting.
So you think their intent was to do harm to people?
Oh, yes. You know, they had the equipment there to do it.
Were you surprised that after that, people who were there were talking about how these were Antifa groups? They weren't really President Trump people. Why does that always come out? That it wasn't the people who we think it was.
Well, there was plenty of mega hats and Trump signs. I don't know what to say about that. There was one red flag that said Jesus. I thought, well, I'm that poor person. I didn't know about them.
How do we qualify this group? Because clearly they are willing to do most anything for this president.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that in politics, a group so devoted to a politician?
Well, I think people were really devoted to Franklin Roosevelt. I think they would have stood by him no matter what. You know.
How do you see the next 8 days at this point?
Boy, I don't know. I'm anxious to... I hope everything goes well and that we don't have any more trouble, but it sounds like there might be.
Now, President Trump, after the Capitol had been breached, came on with a taped minute video.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting video. What did you make of that?
Well, it was like he was forced to do it, and his heart wasn't in it.
Well, he talked about having the election stolen again.
Yeah.
Do you think that he really believes that, that it was stolen from him?
Oh, I think he does believe it. Yeah. He believes what he wants to believe.
Now, we've got Mary Ellen for the full 2 hours. We've got 9 minutes left in this hour. So next hour, we're going to talk about a whole lot of other things, what might be coming up, possibly an impeachment. I believe the 24 hours is about to expire on the 25th Amendment window that was put on Mike Pence yesterday by Nancy Pelosi. So we'll save that for next hour. But Mary Ellen earlier talked about the speeches that were given after the breach at the Capitol. And let's talk about the Republican ones, and we'll go through a few of these here. Let's start with Mitt Romney, who got applause.
Yes, he got a lot of applause. It was a good speech.
And I don't have the verbiage of these speeches, but essentially he said, "This is all for a man's bruised ego."
Yeah.
That
was such a good statement. Yeah.
What do we make of Mitt Romney? You've got a former Republican candidate for president who trashed Donald Trump during the election of 2016, then met with him for dinner to try to get the Secretary of State spot, then didn't get it, then is the only Republican to vote for impeachment the first time around, and then gives him a bruising speech last Wednesday night. What is Mitt Romney? What's going on?
You're never sure what he's going to do. But you know what got me? The woman that lost down in Georgia gets up and gives a speech. I thought, why doesn't she be quiet and sit down, you know?
It wasn't a good day for her.
No.
Wasn't a good day for her. And that's all happening in the midst of this whole Capitol mess.
Yeah.
Is we're finding out that the Senate has now swung Democrat.
Yeah, we didn't find out about the second person while that was going on. Now there he won, and there was not one mention that he had won through all of that.
Yeah.
I got it on my phone, and I thought, gosh, they haven't said a word about it on television.
That's right.
Yeah,
it took them, I think, until about the next morning to finally get to that.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. But so Mitt Romney, you say good speech, but we still don't know about him.
You never know what he's going to do. I watch for him to speak up sometimes, and he doesn't say a darn word. And then other times he'll come out, and he's unpredictable.
Now, a couple of the others here. One happened before the Capitol breach and the other after. So we'll talk about the one after first. Lindsey Graham, who was very critical of President Trump prior to 2016, then seemingly became a very good friend and ally. Well, the night of the breach, he got up and he said, and again, it's all a paraphrase, I don't have the words in front of me, but essentially he said, "I didn't want Joe Biden to win. I campaigned for Trump. I don't like that Joe Biden's won, but he's going to be the president, and I'm done with this. I'm not going to object." What about him?
Well, he got his in this airport situation. They really got after him there.
Yeah.
He's one way, and then he's another way. You never know what he's going to do. I was hoping he got beat, but he didn't.
Well, I hate to ask this. Do you think that his newfound willingness to stand up against Trump has to do with the fact that he just won a new 6-year term?
I think it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll change your mind in a hurry.
Yeah, that's right.
When you don't have to worry for 6 years.
Right.
The other one, and maybe even more surprising to a lot of people, and I want to make the point, this happened before the breach. This happened before the breach, and clearly when he knew he had lost the Senate, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, before the breach, from the floor, said to his constituency, he said, "You know, you can object if you want today, but the election wasn't even close." Mitch McConnell said that.
Yeah, he finally saw the light.
But what do you think caused him to see that light day?
He realized.
Wasn't a good day for him.
No, he realized it was over. Yeah. I'm sure you're getting to Hawley and Cruz. Those two.
Yeah, let's lump them together.
Yeah.
What? For people who didn't hear their speeches, how would you classify their speeches that day?
Well, they are so off the wall. I would classify them as off the wall. Yeah.
A lot of people are asking for them to go.
They should be kicked out.
Are any of these people any chance that anybody's going to resign?
No. They'll still be there. They should have done something about them, because What they did was terrible. And, I mean, there was several of them. Then the rest of them backed out. But you still had crew. And they want to run for president in 4 years, you know.
Oh, you think we'll see Cruz again?
Oh, sure.
The other one I want to get to, because we only have three and a half minutes left in this hour. But again, we got the whole next hour with Mary Ellen. And I'm going to pick this up because I want to get the quote right. Now, this is what Vice President Mike Pence said before the Capitol breach that got him in a whole lot of trouble with his boss, President Trump. What he said was, he said that only lawmakers can decide whether to accept or reject the Electoral College votes won by President-elect Joe Biden. When he said that, almost immediately on Twitter, President Trump was still allowed to use Twitter at that point, this is what President Trump tweeted. Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution. So Mike Pence, after all this time, I can't remember him ever defying the president.
No.
What do you think happened with him on Wednesday?
Well, he wasn't going to defy the Constitution. He'd have been in big trouble if he'd have done that.
Why do you think that led up to a lot of the problem last week, that these Republican allies of President Trump, McConnell, Graham, certainly Mike Pence, had for the first time defied him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure.
President Trump doesn't strike me as the type of person who likes to be told no.
Oh, absolutely not. And when they took away his Twitter, I bet that about killed him.
Well, with our final 90 seconds in this hour, let's talk about that. He has been banned indefinitely from Twitter. And basically the reason they gave was they're afraid he might incite some kind of violence.
Yeah.
This is the president of the United States. This is not, you know, John Q. Public.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that?
Well, I think they should have taken it away from him a long time ago, because that is how he's got all of these people riled up behind him. That's what he used to do it.
Do you think, I've always wondered this, do you think he writes his own tweets? I've never seen him with a cell phone.
Well, I think he does, because he misspells things. And
I don't know. I've always been curious about this, because I've never seen him with a cell phone. I've never seen him with a BlackBerry or any. I've never seen him. And he doesn't strike me as the type of a guy who tweets. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's somebody writing these.
You think somebody's doing it for him?
I think.
Well, it's probably Miller if somebody's doing it for him.
Well, I just don't know if he's writing them. Now, they might be his opinions, but I don't know if he's sitting there at the cell phone typing that out.
I never thought about that.
It would be curious to me.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing to think about.
We're going to come back next hour and talk about the 25th Amendment. We're going to talk about a possible impeachment on the way. We're going to talk about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and a whole lot of other things with the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and something interesting. But we'll save that for next hour. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
For 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that mean so much?
Well, you see, I'm 106. And this is my wish. I always wish would happen. I wish I were part of it. And I could go to heaven and tell my Lord.